weeks ago and would like to go forward, and that is to spend some time talking about, studying, evaluating, reading about the Holy Spirit. It's one of those topics that as we go through the Scripture, there is so much about the role, the mission, and the, I guess, impact of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And last time when I got started, I went through how reading a bunch of verses, and I'll continue on some today. I'm not going to make it overly long, just so we can eat, and I think there's been a lot of joy already today in what's happened. But I talked about how the Holy Spirit is equipping God's people. First, we read about how He inspired the prophets of old. Then we read about how He empowered the Christ as Messiah, that the Holy Spirit was integral to the role of the Messiah. Then we went on how the Holy Spirit empowered the first Christians. And then we read how He empowers God's people today. And that the Holy Spirit really is sent on a mission of God to help change the world. Because if we didn't need the Holy Spirit, then it says we can do it on our own. And that's not the case. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit directs the mission. And we concluded last time, I think, with the example out of Acts 19, where the seven sons of Sceva, itinerant Jewish exorcist, were out, and they said, "Hey, we see what the Holy Spirit can do, so watch us. We're going to go take on demons." And of course, the example is that the demon-possessed man said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but I don't know who you are." And then he beat basically them stripped and naked, seven sons, and sent them running down the street because they were playing with something that they didn't have either authority or knowledge or permission to do. And so what I'd like to do is continue on today. It won't be that long, but about really the mission of the Holy Spirit and how that now can show up in our lives. And I'd like to start, if we go to Acts chapter 6, we're going to just read a lot of verses. Acts chapter 6. Because it's one of those topics that I believe once you start getting into the Holy Spirit, it blows my mind how many verses there are about the Holy Spirit and all the aspects of the Holy Spirit, the mission of the Spirit, responsibility that we have, and I'll cover that in a couple more messages. But in Acts chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, this is in the case of Stephen, but the point is how the Holy Spirit is the one that will inspire us, that when we need to be inspired in the appropriate times, if we are yielded to the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 9, then some of those, well, I'll read verse 8, Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it is called, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and others from those from Cilicia and Asia, stood up and argued with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. And it resulted in his death, but he was able to speak with wisdom and spirit and refute them. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 10. This is something very familiar that I think we all understand, but how many of us have had to do this yet? I believe the day is coming when we might be in this situation. But in Matthew chapter 10, I'll start with 16. He's speaking to his disciples. And he's speaking of persecution that is going to come. And he said, see, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpent and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And so that's the promise we have. That's the reassurance we have, that when we are put in awkward or situations that have great opportunity for harm or stress, the Messiah said, the Holy Spirit will speak through you. Don't worry. Don't worry. You can rely on me. Now you can read about that in Mark 13, Luke 21. But let's go to Acts chapter 2. Again, this whole issue of how the Holy Spirit, one of the missions, one of the responsibilities is to inspire us, to give us the words we need at the appropriate time. Oh, no wonder. Already in Acts. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And he reads, in the last days it will be God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. They will speak inspired with inspiration. And so the time is coming, because this is in the context of the time of the end, where we do not have to worry. The Holy Spirit will give us the boldness. The Holy Spirit will give us the words. The Holy Spirit will help us to know what to say. You can read more about this in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. This is a situation where they were all together. In Acts chapter 4, it said, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. And these are the verses that are to reassure us, to give us the encouragement. Let's go over to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 15. And again, we're jumping into a bunch of thoughts here. You can go back to the context. Peter is talking about how he was called to preach to the Gentiles. But it says, and give you a message in verse 15, by which you and your entire household, oh, that's 14 I'm reading. All right. In verse 15, and give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved, 14. And as I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it upon us at the beginning. And there are different events and different times when the Holy Spirit's going to do His work to give us inspiration and to affect the people around you. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. It says, because of our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. The Holy Spirit came, they taught, not just in words, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. And the reassurance is that we've been given the same Holy Spirit that they were given. The Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that we read about. The Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that can do these things in our lives. It's at the appropriate time and an appropriate place. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. After John, before John, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. And again, just reading verses that talk about how the Holy Spirit gives us inspiration, gives power. 1 Peter 1:12, it says, it was revealed to them, this is speaking of the prophets of old, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in regard to the things that have now been announced to you through those who brought you good news by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So the Holy Spirit gives us information, gives us inspiration, gives us the knowledge that we need to go forward. And what I infer from this verse, to me it's interesting that we say angels are spirit, and I don't dispute that at all, but I'm not sure that they're the Holy Spirit. They're just spirit, because they are trying to look into the Word and understand what's been written. Because the Old Testament was around before the New Testament church got started, and if the angels really understood prophecy, they would have known what was going on. I assume even the enemy would have known prophecy, and yet the enemy didn't understand the Scriptures, and yet we've been given, because of the Holy Spirit, the ability to understand the Scriptures. So even the angels are saying, man, I wish I could understand it too. So if you're confused at times, I think it's our natural state, but even the angels long to look into the prophecies of what's going to happen and what the timing is. And I think it goes back to the verse in Matthew that says, no man knows the hour of when the Messiah returns. Now, I'm going to give a little aside here that really helped me understand this, is that Christ said he was going to go away and prepare a house for us, because that's what the Jewish tradition was, that when he got betrothed to a bride, the bridegroom would go away to build the house. And you would think, well, if he's building the house, how come he doesn't know when he's going to be done with it? But according to Jewish tradition, the bridegroom builds the house, but it's only the father that tells him when it's done. Until the father is satisfied that the house is built to the bride's needs and satisfaction, not even the bridegroom knows when the father is going to say, okay, it's done, you can go get your bride. And that helps understanding the traditions there, that really, if the father is following what the physical Jewish traditions are, only the father knows when he's going to say, the work is done, it's time to go collect your bride. And I think that helps, because I kept saying, how could the Messiah not know when his house is done? Well, he doesn't, not until the father says it's done. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives us insight. Let's go to one more. 2 Peter, just a couple pages over. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. In verse 20 of 2 Peter 2, it says, first of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Because no prophecy ever came by human will, but by men and women moved by the Holy Spirit, spoken from God. So when we read these words, it wasn't somebody sitting there and saying, you know, I think I'm going to write a history or a story. This is saying that none of this came except that they were led by the Holy Spirit. These words are given to us and recorded for us for a purpose, and they were guided and directed by God through the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about signs and wonders that was mentioned once. Go back to Romans chapter 15. Through the Holy Spirit, signs and wonders. Now, I've often wondered why in this world we don't see the signs and wonders that we read about in the New Testament. And yet I would propose to you that there are still signs and wonders going on daily, I would propose to you that there are parts of the world that are receiving that, because really what signs and wonders do is identify where God is at work, what he's trying to accomplish. People recognize that. The lame being able to walk, the blind being able to see, the crippled just by the shadow passing over, inspired prayer. But in Romans chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, we cannot say God does not work, but we also have to live by faith. We have to live by faith. But in Romans chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, we read, "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to win obedience from the Gentiles by word and deed." Verse 19, "By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and as far as Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the good news of Christ." And I would hope that our understanding and expectation, as we get to understand the Holy Spirit more, that we will not limit the Holy Spirit. We will not say, Holy Spirit can't do powers, can't do signs, can't do wonders, can't do this, because look at the world we live in. I don't agree with that, but yet I don't know that it's always needed for us to go forward, because we also have to go by faith. But the Holy Spirit can and will do power of signs and wonders. There is a power in the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. And the intent of this is to try and give you a sense of building a foundation, because where I want to get into are really gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the responsibilities we have with the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that'll be starting next time. But in Galatians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Well then, does God supply you with the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law, or by your believing what you heard?" You cannot get the Holy Spirit by being obedient to the law and say, "There, I obeyed this." It's you believe in the Messiah. There's numerous verses that talk that we are saved by grace through faith and not works, so that it would be of our own doing. The Holy Spirit is given to us because we believe. The belief then encourages us to do the obedience. We're saved first, then we obey. That's the whole issue of grace. One final one, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. This is speaking of the Messiah, because in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, "Long ago God spoke to us, our ancestors, in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds." Goes on to speak about the Messiah. Chapter 2, it's about not drifting away, but in verse 4 he writes, "While God added his testimony by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." We need to be able to understand and that we can associate signs and wonders and power with the Holy Spirit. That's part of the, I guess, mission, purpose, use of the Holy Spirit, that there are all those things. And here's where I think it starts getting closer to home, because we all, I would think, I've always wanted to be able to do signs and wonders and miracles, and then I thought, I don't know, because if, for example, I was truly given the gift of healing, what would it be like if you go try to empty out all the hospitals? There'd be a lot of opposition. There's a lot of money made in the cancers and the operations and all that. And if you really could do that, would you be accused of sorcery like the Messiah was, or witchcraft, or being a Beelzebub or just the opposition that would come from being able to do signs and wonders and powers. And so I think we have to be careful what we ask for, because the ramifications can get pretty significant. But let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 10. About how the Holy Spirit, one of the purposes, one of the missions, one of the responsibilities is to sanctify the people of God. In verse 10 of Romans 8, it says, "But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit that dwells in you." Holy Spirit sets us apart, sanctifies us. That's what the word sanctification, sanctify, means, to be set apart for holy use. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We'll see that a little more if we go to verse 14. Well, we just read that. No. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." There's a special recognition of who we are when we are led by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at chapter 15, verse 16. Chapter 15, verse 16. Paul is writing to the Romans, and he said, I'll start in verse 15. "Nevertheless, on some points I have written to you rather boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given to me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." It's the Holy Spirit that sets apart their calling. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is all how the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, sets us apart for holy use. Let's see, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. "But we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth." The first fruits. We are called for salvation. We are set apart by the Holy Spirit. And finally, let's go to, he encourages, the Holy Spirit encourages God's people. Romans chapter 8 again. A lot of stuff in Romans about the Holy Spirit. Actually, throughout Scripture, there's a lot about the Holy Spirit. But it's trying to understand the Holy Spirit started with the prophets. The Holy Spirit empowered the Messiah. The Holy Spirit empowered the first Christians. The Holy Spirit has a job to do. He convicts us of sin. He directs our mission. He does inspiration to us. He gives signs and wonders. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us, sets us apart. The Holy Spirit also encourages us. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. "It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." That's encouraging to know that I'm one of the children of God, but it's only by the Holy Spirit that we know that. In verse 27 we read, "And God who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." If we can understand the role of the Holy Spirit, I think it's going to allow us to understand when we get into gifts and fruit and responsibilities of how the Holy Spirit should impact our lives. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. 1 John. 1 John. It says, "All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit that He has given us." Let's go over to chapter 4, verse 13. "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit." The challenge we have when we start looking at the Holy Spirit is that it is given to us by the laying on of hands at baptism. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be a very powerful influence in our life. The Holy Spirit is supposed to guide us and teach us, intercede for us. We will read verses, the Holy Spirit will give us gifts. The Holy Spirit is to bear fruit in us. The Holy Spirit prays for us when we can't even put into words the anguish or the pain or the frustration that we feel. And yet, the Holy Spirit does not beat us over the head. Remember the story of Elijah, where he went, fled from the prophets of Baal, and he ended up on the mountain of God, and he was in a cave, and he said, "It's it. I'm the only one left." Well, the disaster. "God, you failed." He basically said, "God, you failed. I'm the only one left." And then it says there was a mighty earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. Then there was tongues of fire burning up the mountain, and it says God was not in the fire. Then there was a rushing mighty wind, and it said God was not in the wind. All these very powerful manifestations of Elijah standing in the mouth of the cave, and he said, "But that's not me. That's not me." And then it says God spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. God isn't going to hit you with an earthquake. He's not going to hit you with a tornado or a hurricane. He's not going to hit you with raging fire to get your attention. He wants you to be looking and yielded to the Holy Spirit, because he will speak to us in a still, small voice. And then he went on to tell Elijah, "Go do what I told you to do. I got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. I got it covered. Just do what I tell you." And I think that's a lesson for us, that even when we think we're all alone and God isn't in some huge event, God is always there in a still, small voice. But to hear a still, small voice, you have to be listening for it. You have to be paying attention. You have to be quiet. And so often in this society, we get wrapped up in just busyness and nonstop go, 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 go. And how often do we sit down? Alan spoke a month or so ago about meditation. That's one of the ways in which God will speak to us. Meditate on his word, on his precepts, on his laws, and he will speak to us. But the point is, we're trying to focus in on it. And one thing I would like to conclude today by, because we've got lots of celebration to do and good food to eat, is if you'd go to Luke chapter 11, and I ask you to consider this in your prayers, Luke chapter 11, because I'm not convinced how often we as a group do this, but I think we should. In Luke chapter 11, right chapter here. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. This is the Messiah speaking to really us. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks the door will be opened." Then he goes to say, "Look, is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, you'll give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then," he says, "who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And so I'd ask you to consider in your prayers, because I've had to reevaluate mine, my prayers were basically a give me list. Give me this, give me that. Give me this, give me that. Why aren't you there? If you'd only give me this, If you'd only give me that, I've had to change it to ask, will you give me the humble heart to be able to recognize your Holy Spirit, and will you give me more of your Holy Spirit? So by this verse, my perception, my understanding is that it's not a finite amount that, here, you're given this much Holy Spirit and that's all you get. That if we who are physical, we who are parents, know and want to give good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Because then the Holy Spirit is what makes us look like His Son. The Holy Spirit is what teaches us and leads us and guides us and directs us. And we talked before that it has to come from a humble heart. So I would ask all of you as I wrap up here to think about praying for more of the Holy Spirit. But along with that is the humility and the quiet and the peace to be able to be yielded to it. It is not a tool that you take out and wield like a sword. We'll cover that in the future, but this is the sword. This is the sword of God. The Word of God is the sword that we can wield. The Holy Spirit gives us the understanding of how to use it. The Holy Spirit gives us the knowledge of what it means. The Holy Spirit will show us that the ways of God are not the ways of man, and man's way, I just go back to things like, is it truly better to give than to receive? That's what the Word of God says. And how many of us, myself included, think, I'd rather receive than give. It's nice to get things. And there are lots of principles that are in the Scripture that are contrary to the way the world does things. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit, if we are not yielded to the Holy Spirit, if we're not praying for the Holy Spirit, do you think it will just be given to us? Here, I'm just going to give you stuff that you don't even need. I would believe that the instruction is you are given a portion of the Holy Spirit at baptism and the laying on of hands. And the responsibility we have is to keep growing and developing and asking. So I will conclude there just asking you to consider that in your prayers about asking for the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to teach us. And then what I would like to get into is the gift of the Holy Spirit to us, that it can be withdrawn, that we can give it up, that there's so much about the Holy Spirit. It'll just be going through several more verses, but ultimately where I want to end up is spiritual gifts, why they were given, what we're supposed to do with them, and how they're given for the benefit of the body. And we do. I think we've got some great opportunities ahead of us as a fellowship of how we can serve other people using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, unless somebody has some comments or questions, if we could sing and then we could start preparing for a pre-Thanksgiving dinner.